Hey everyone, welcome to the Poachers Corner with Coach Tony Bennett, Dougie Fresh, and Mark Jerome. Dynamic podcast tonight with DJ CJ, DJ YB, two UVA star athletes turned DJ. Perfect guests for the Poachers Corner crew. Sports and music. Tony.
How you doing, guys?
What do you think of the intro?
Man, that's awesome, man. I'm just sitting here grooving to it. Like, man, some of those tracks take me back. That Ace of Base track, that was hot when I was at UVA. And so I know you remember that, YB.
I think we just lost the whole show. I think we just went the DJs now. That shit was great.
No, YB.
I don't like any of those songs except for Stevie Wonder, and I love them.
I was wondering if you sent him a message. Connor. Like, you start with Loser, and
it was so good.
Stop getting on my man, Connor. I thought it was hot. DJ CJ, Connor Jones.
He made me like him. He made me like him.
I know he did. He really did. DJ CJ, my man, Connor Jones, back after a great time during the fundraising event. We hosted, Locker Room Access hosted, to raise money for the furloughed workers on the UK tour, the 2K tournament. Thanks for joining us, Connor.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys having me. This is you guys are a lot of fun, so I'm happy to be back.
And we've got DJ YB, Yuri Barnes.
Yes, sir. With us
also. What's happening, Yuri?
What's up, y'all? We're not going now. Are we talking? What are we doing?
We got to talk for a little bit.
Okay.
And then we'll get you in. Don't worry. We're definitely going to get you in.
We've got a very special musical episode of Foch's Corner.
Yeah. We thought we would try it because we've heard feedback that a lot of people do this while they're working out and they're taking a walk. So Connor actually came up with the idea, what if we integrated some musical pieces in between these segments? And I think it makes sense. Let's give it a try. Obviously, give us feedback, listeners, what you like, what you don't like, and we'll keep it moving. But let's give it a shot. We got two UVA alum, big DJs that we know and love, so thankful you guys could join.
Yeah, Fresh, awesome. You gonna freestyle over YB's beats?
That's what I want.
Yeah, we gotta do the dance hall though, right? Reggae dance hall 90s, YB.
16 bars, Fresh. Come on, you got it in you.
See, if it was up to Fresh, he would have me play reggae all night long.
That's right.
Reggae and dance and reggae tone and reggae and.
But that's the best. Yeah. That's the best part of what you guys do. I have no idea what's coming next. We just had Ace.
So Ace, so Fresh there. Calls me. Who you are them? The you got to explain who are them.
Who are them? So me and YB. So he's 2 years younger. He's at Corey Junior class, and I have no idea how this started, YB. But me and YB, we think we speak patois to each other, like Jamaican brothers.
And I knew nothing. Like, I just know what I hear from the songs.
Well, I tell you what's funny. It's funny because dudes tell me now, I would pick them up in my 87 Jetta on grounds, and they were like, dude, you were always playing Shabba Ranks. I'm like, no, it's Shabba Ranks. And so me and YB, we had code on the court, right? We would just
We used to always, like, we wanted to be, we were like closet Jamaicans.
Exactly. You know?
But we couldn't do what Jamaicans do, of course, because we play ball and we're at UVA. So
we also
that's the coolest language to learn. If you could speak with the patois accent and to me, that's just all I want to do. So out of nowhere, when he and I we're bouncing off fake stuff back and forth, I said, "Who dare come test the one dem call YB?" And he just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And because I said that, he started calling me, "Who are them? Who dare come test the one them call YB?" Turned into, "Who are them?" He probably don't even remember that.
I do remember that. It's so funny.
Follow me now, see? You know, we just, you know, rewind selector. We just would throw that out at each other. Like it meant something.
On the court. Like, I'm... I'm coming off a pick and roll or whatever.
Yeah, my biggest musical purchase mistake ever was a friend of mine had some Buju Banton, and I was like, man, that's hot. And so I went to the record store. I couldn't remember the whole name. I bought Pato Banton. Totally different style. And I'm like, what the hell? I got the wrong Banton. And I still have that cassette somewhere.
That's funny,
though. I never did.
But
go
you
back
know what's Buju, you know what's funny? My stepdad, you know, although I haven't been DJing long, but I've been unofficially DJing a long time. And as a toddler, my stepdad used to take me when he would DJ, and he'd MC and DJ at the same time. So out of nowhere, you know, he tells me the other day, once I told him I was DJing, he tells me, because I'm talking to him about all the technology we have versus in the 80s and late 70s. When they wanted a song, they had to go to the record store. If they heard something on the radio, they had to sing it to the guy behind the counter. That was the only way of getting this, because they didn't know the name of it.
Before Shazam, like, that's what you did.
Like, okay, I shot this, or whatever the song is. And they're like, no, that ain't it. It's enough. He's like, okay, sing it again. I think I got what you're talking about. But, and I can't even imagine that, having to go sing a song to somebody to get the right record.
They discovered that way.
And then maybe Connor, we generally this on the show we try to keep fresh up to date on what's happening on Twitter, since he's not exactly up to date, but he's now on Twitter. So I was gonna say let's give him the Twitch update, Connor. What's you're now in this Twitch world? I work there. I was gonna say let's walk him through what's up with the latest on Twitch.
Yeah, so what I would say is, well, it's funny because I've watched Twitch for a long time now, probably maybe 3 or 4 years at least, which is a long time compared to most people nowadays. But I watched Twitch in the locker room and stuff when, you know, we would take batting practice and then come inside and have like 2 or 3 hours to kill before the game. And I would lay there and watch some of my favorite streamers on Twitch play video games or do whatever. That was mainly what I feel like brought Twitch to the forefront, or not the forefront of entertainment, but really put it on the map, was a lot of the people playing video games. And so I've watched Twitch for a long time. And then, you know, during quarantine, I was thinking to myself, you know, if I could, you know, I've been DJing since before I got to UVA for a little bit, really started at UVA. And I just thought to myself, if I could do my hobbies, which is play video games or DJ or play baseball, those are three things that I like to spend a lot of my time doing. If I could do that, and if people want to watch me do it, then that's awesome. And if not, I'd probably be doing it anyway. So, what is there to really lose? So I started DJing, and, believe it or not, I get, this is part of the story. One of my first streams on Twitch I ever saw, or I ever did, I think my first one ever, I'd seen some advice from YouTube videos that it was good to, instead of just ending your stream abruptly, you send your stream to somebody else's, and that's called a raid in our Twitch terminology. So you send all your 4 or 5, 100, however many viewers you have, to somebody else's stream where they can keep the party going or whatever. It's just a good way to network and connect with people and whatnot. Right. So they said, look for somebody with a similar sized audience. So my first stream was 6 viewers, a whopping 6 people, you know, tuned in. And so I'm looking through other people doing DJ, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm going all the way down to the bottom of the list where there's 6 viewers. And so I pick out some guy who, he just had a clean looking feed and, you know, nothing crazy going on, just a guy standing there DJing. And so I sent all my viewers to him. He had 6. I had 6. All of a sudden, he's got 12. And I pop in. His name is Neil Jackson. And all of a sudden, I pop in. I'm like, you know, hey, man, you know, I just rated your stream. You know, it's nice to meet you. Like, you know, I like what you're doing here or whatever. And he didn't even know. I couldn't tell if he was being rude and not acknowledging me, or if he didn't necessarily understand what was going on. And so I kind of had to explain, hey, I just rated you. You know, I doubled your viewers, you know, not to, you know, toot my own horn or anything. But so little did I know, he was like a world famous DJ and travels the world DJing. He's out of Manhattan, been to Paris, all over the world, Italy, like a huge DJ. And it was his first stream as well. That's why he didn't know what was going on when I rated him. So we were both totally brand new together. And since then we connected, we exchanged numbers and stuff. And we've been in touch like probably 3 or 4 times a week since then. And he's helped connect me to some of the biggest DJs in the country, like guys you would go see in Vegas and LA and stuff. And that was just pure luck and circumstance. But I guess a shout out to my guy, Neil Jackson, for just being a really good dude and, you know, trying to help other good people out. So I got lucky from that aspect. But yeah, people tune in. And the cool thing about Twitch as far as music goes is, you know, if the quarantine wasn't happening or anything like that, if this was normal life and there was, you know, if Neil was DJing in Manhattan, and you would have to be in Manhattan to go see him. And right. You'd probably have to pay a fair amount of money to get into the club he's DJing at. And then you'd see him from 100 yards away up on the stage playing all these songs, you know, looking really cool, keeping the party going, all this kind of stuff. Well, on Twitch, you know, I could be in San Diego and pop in and be boom right in front of Neil Jackson's face, watching him, not in a weird way, but watch him DJ up close. And then at the same time, even if you're a VIP at the club, if Kevin Durant comes rolling in, well, guess what? You get to go stand right behind him, and he might turn around and say, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And that's about the extent of your interaction. Whereas on Twitch, you're in the chat and Joe Schmo says, hey, Neil, you know, big fan from California. How you doing? And he could say, oh, hey, Joe Schmo, you know, how's it going, man? You know, how's your Tuesday been or whatever, where that level of interaction would never occur anywhere else. So it's crazy that, you know, people can tune in and see their favorite DJs from all over the world and, you know, from your couch and your home. It's pretty cool.
How does he feel about going live in general now versus the club?
Oh, he's all about Twitch now. He is like, we speak frequently, and he's like, people think of my manager, my agent, they think I'm crazy, but I'm going all in on it. Like he's very dedicated, and he's done some really successful stuff on there so far. And the reality is, he's like, I'm not going back out and DJing anywhere, because he's known a lot of guys that went back for one gig and boom, got COVID their first gig. So he's like, not worth it. And then if the places are only at 50% capacity, they only want to pay you like 30% of what you would normally get. So I'm not going to hop on a plane, fly to Kansas City, get a 30% paycheck, risk getting sick and come back. Like, it's just, when I could stand in my living room and kill it on Twitch with all my friends and everybody in the chat, and like, it's fun. So I can understand why he wouldn't do that.
For you, is it about monetizing? Or like, for me, if I get money, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I know that I can get future gigs from the hundreds or however many people see what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking it's the exposure. So if I don't get money, I'm not upset, you know, because I feel like the gigs will come as a result too. But
for sure.
Unless you're monetizing like that, then it doesn't make a difference whether you get gigs or not.
Yeah, and some of these guys are getting to that point, to be honest with you. But honestly, that's not the right way to go about it. Like, especially, I spent a lot of time viewing as well when I was starting the DJ, just trying to see what people are doing, kind of networking a little bit. And the thing for me was, you know, it seemed like every time I hopped on Twitter or something, it was just a lot of controversy, a lot of like just negativity and divisiveness. And I was like, you know what, I can't do it anymore. Like, there has to be an escape somewhere. And Twitch provided a really nice escape. And I know from experience, whether you're watching the gamers and stuff, where those channels and communities can be kind of toxic at times with a lot of negativity. And it's just like, toxic's a good way to describe it. But in the DJing community, it is so positive. It's so inclusive. And I know that might sound corny, but it's just the way it is. And it's been a really nice escape, whether I'm watching Neil's channel, whether I'm watching Eric Deluxe in California, one of the biggest in the game. Like, it's just a bunch of people that are there for the same reason, looking to all do the same thing and enjoy the music and have fun. And all of a sudden you've got, you know, friends in quotation marks here that you see these people in there every time. It's like, you're actually going to the club. It's like, hey, what's up, man? You know, how's your Tuesday going? But you're watching on your TV or something. You're not actually in person, but it's kind of unique how it resembles just like it would be in real life.
Yeah. It's always been that way, right? Music makes everybody feel better, man. So how are you going to get, you know, doesn't matter what you play.
Yeah.
My favorite DJ is DJ Jazzy Jeff, you know, from Fresh mm-hmm. Prince. Mm-hmm. And he used to be on Twitch. Now he has his own app. But I watch him and I notice that he shouts out, because you're talking about the network, he shouts out other DJs whose name I've never heard, or many people probably haven't heard. But I imagine that because of the networking, like they're sending each other mixes. They're sending each other remixes, songs that we might not have heard. It's like a sharing going on. That's a cool thing, you know, and he'll shout them out probably just for sending him something that he used.
Yeah, for sure. I bought some of Neil. Neil just launched his merch line. I got some merch from him. I got one of the other guys who's really helped me out is DJ Audio One from the Bay Area in San Francisco. He's a huge DJ out there, and got some of his merch. He sent me, so he does a lot of remixes and bootlegs and stuff like that where he'll actually make edits and stuff. And I asked, we were talking about it, and you know, I said, you know, I'd love to check him out. And he said, I'll send you some, and he must have sent me probably like 1,200 songs. And I was like, dude, I just wanted to hear a couple, and you just like doubled the size of my library. So thank you. But that just goes to show, like, these are just good guys trying to see, you know, trying to see good people do well. So
that's what I always hear about all DJs.
Hey,
yeah.
Connor, how'd you get started in DJing?
So, wow, this is a pretty crazy story. So back when I was in high school, that's when a lot of like the electronic dance music concerts and stuff, or raves, whatever people want to call them, shows, were really getting popular. And so I went to one or two down here in the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, and I was just like starstruck, might not be the right word, but I was awestruck by what the DJ, like watching the DJ on stage. I was just so like captivated by, like, and kind of curious, like, what is he doing? Like, this, the production and stuff, like the lights, I'm like, this is totally crazy, but like, what is he doing up there? And so I went home and just did some digging on YouTube. I mean, you could find out how to do anything on YouTube. And I just watched some little tutorials and stuff and found out the basics. And I went to the store and, you know, spent $200 or $300 and bought my first little set of turntables. And they were, you know, it's kind of what YB's got rocking with right now. But, you know, it was totally a beginner thing. And I just started, I had no idea what I was doing. And I learned a little bit off YouTube. And looking back, I was so bad.
But did it all.
Yeah. Looking back, I was so bad when I went back and listened to it. And then I went to college, and I was there for summer school, actually, on grounds. I was living in the new dorms. So it was the very first year new dorms were open. And for the Who fans out there. And I was there, and one of the older players was also still, he must have been taking summer classes, and he was there, and he knew some of the guys that worked at Trinity on the corner. And you know, there's not many people there for summer school. And they said, I think I had told my teammate that I liked DJing or something like that. And so my teammate says to one of the guys that works there, you know, well, hey, well, he's around here if you guys, you know, need any help or anything like that. And so the next night, they the guy texted me and said, hey, we need an extra bouncer tonight. Can you come in and, you know, we'll pay in cash tonight. You know, just, we need help for one night. And I said, sure. You know, it's summer school. I've got nothing else to do. Charlottesville was pretty dead. And so I went, and they gave me a chair, and I wore a black shirt like a bouncer, and I went and sat at the back door to make sure no one tried to sneak in the back door. And I sat there. And so I'm sitting there trying to do my job, like I know what I'm doing. And in the middle of the night, a guy I didn't know comes walking towards the back door to walk out. And I'm like, hey, you know, sorry, man, I'm working, you can't go out here. And he was like, oh, you know, it's all right. I'm the head DJ. You know, I'm just going to step outside really quick. And I said, oh, you know, sorry. You know, I don't know. First day on the job. And so he goes walking out the back door. And so I was like, really, you know, you're the head DJ. And we ended up talking for about an hour. And he was from the United Kingdom. His name was Jamie Edwards, really good guy. And so from the UK, where obviously DJing is a really big deal. And, you know, we talked for a while, and I must have finagled my way into, you know, making him like me or something. And my other mentor, Brian Castor, who I think was a junior or senior when I was a freshman, he was currently DJing. So they were kind of doing it together. And they kind of, not like an agreement, but they kind of were cool with taking me under their wing and showing me some of the finer points and some, you know, really mentoring me. And so I went over to their apartment a couple of times, and they showed me some of the tricks of the trade. And which really, really helped me a lot. And so then, you know, I would, you know, like any other job, I went in and I shadowed them for a little bit. And then I got to, you know, in the middle of like on a Saturday night, I hopped in for like 30 minutes, and, you know, they saw what I could do. And I can tell you what, I was so nervous. I had pitched in front of thousands of people, and my heart was racing DJing in front of like 200 people, which is just funny. But, and then by the end of that year, I pretty much was doing my own nights unsupervised, and I went off to summer ball and just kept practicing and, you know, bedroom DJing like, you know, most DJs have heard before, and just practicing on my own. And then, you know, come sophomore year, I like had my own nights completely. And by my junior year, I did the Covenant School high school dance. I was doing frat parties. I was doing Trinity 2 times a week. I was doing, you know, the frat houses. I did some private parties. I did a private function for a football player at a bar. You name it. I've done a wedding since then. So, I mean, I've done, I think, over 125 gigs on my own. So it was purely a hobby, and I had zero resume and got a job at the biggest bar on campus, which is a dance floor driven DJing bar. And it just, it was pretty crazy. And it was awesome. It was a great escape from baseball, because I was really hard on myself and baseball was serious. And we had a lot of success when I was there, but at the same time, there was some pressure that I just put on myself to do well. And so, you know, instead of sitting on a one-legged stool where if baseball didn't work out, I was crushed. I gave me some stability in my life, like personally. So that was a nice escape for me, but then it also became a pretty lucrative business, and it was just a ton of fun. Like, you know, seeing, you know, other athletes out, or just, you know, just seeing funny stuff. You're up on the DJ booth and seeing people act like idiots, you know, it's just, that part's kind of funny too.
Well, you were able to make money doing that while you're playing in college?
Oh yeah. It was a job. Okay. I was working a job. It was the same thing as if I was, you know, bartending or, you know, right, being a bouncer or a waiter or something.
I know we couldn't have accepted money back then, back in our days.
You're telling on them, Fresh.
Yeah. No, huh? I think I had to talk to compliance or something, but it was just like working a job. I mean, there were other athletes that would be, you know, football players or bouncers and, you know,
what's the statute of limitations on that?
God, no idea.
Yeah, exactly. My man, I wasn't trying to. He doesn't care. He's a major league baseball player now.
Yeah.
Give a fuck.
But that's cool. Connor, what's your favorite type of music to play?
That's a hard question, honestly.
Yeah.
And what do you use to get the crowd really going?
So we had a strategy at Trinity. We really did. In my free time, I like to listen to a lot of reggae, actually. Just like, you know, I grew up at the beach. I just like that vibe. But I like hip hop a lot. I like dance music a lot. Those are kind of my two go-tos. But we had a strategy at Trinity, and I don't want to like give away all our secrets, but it was like a formula we had. So we would start off the night with some kind of like 90s hip hop, or like you can't start the night with dance music when the dance floor is empty, because it's pretty intimidating for somebody to just kind of be the first one out there to walk out on the dance floor and start going crazy. So we would play some Ja Rule, or you know, some The Game or 50 Cent or something, just something kind of everybody knew you could sing along to, and people would start to creep their way out on the dance floor. And you know, once it's midnight or 1 a.m., it's crowded enough where you don't have any other choice but to be on the dance floor. But it's more inviting to get people to come out. And then we'd kind of play some slower style dance music, maybe with some rap lyrics over it or something, still so people could sing along and come out. And then
an example of that?
We had a remix of kind of like a dance remix of Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye that we played all the time. That was popular, that, you know, girls would sing along to that and stuff like that. So that's an example people could relate to. Yeah, Fresh, exactly.
Sorry.
No, you're right on. So yeah, and then as the night progressed, we would play some more like, you know, maybe some current hip hop that people were really feeling, or some more aggressive dance music, because at that point people are all going wild and, you know, you're not the one person on the dance floor acting a fool.
So right. So I gotta ask, because you've performed live and doing the thing online. Now my only experience in public performance is stand up comedy. It's only ever been live, and I've done shows with as few as 6 people and and the energy is very different, and it's hard to really give the same energy back. I mean, so much of being a performer, I think, is taking that energy the audience has given mm-hmm. you, and you giving it back. How does that work online? I mean, are you affected when you see 6 followers, or, you know, 6 people watching the stream versus 100? I mean, does it change your performance at all?
No, I think it's very much the same as a live performance, like you referenced. I know starting out is hard. I think you're lying if you're saying that playing for 4 people is no different than playing for 50, at least online. Like, as far as the numbers go, playing for 50 people online is really solid. Like, that might not seem very impressive, but for DJs on Twitch, that's a really good number. I mean, I was super proud when I had some of my own streams that got up to like 80, 85 people. Like, that, like, I was fired up about that. And then I referenced him earlier, but I had DJ Audio One from San Francisco, who's got a really big following. He rated me with 220 people the other day. So my stream went from like 30 to 250 in like a matter of seconds.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm like, holy crap. Like the chat is going bananas. And I'm like, this is insane. I've pitched in front of 25,000 people and I am so much more nervous right now than I was back then.
Then you go from actually responding to chats because there's maybe 10. Now there's 110. And you can't talk to people at all anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I still try because I really pride myself on that and being interactive too, and engaging and trying to give people the credit and the shout outs they deserve. But yeah, I mean, at some point it just becomes totally overwhelming. So yeah.
I try to my shout best. Out everybody.
Yeah, I tried my best.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
DJ CJ, do you get more attention as a DJ from girls or more attention as a baseball player from girls?
Well, considering girls can't walk out on the diamond during the game, I'd say probably DJing.
That's what I would guess. I bet that's right.
Cause it like, the thing is like, it's not like I'm a basketball player and I'm 6'8". Like I'm a 6'3", just average looking guy. So it's like, it's not like you really know, unless I had pink hair or something, it's not like you really know that I'm a baseball player. So unless I was walking around every day in my Virginia baseball sweatshirt or something like some of us did.
Right.
It's not like you really know. team issued CJ over here wearing all my baseball stuff. But no, it's not like you wouldn't really know unless people really knew who you were and you were friends with them. So
right.
It's not like we're on TV all the time and like all the students watch our games like basketball or football or something like that. So
right. So ding ding DJ. I got it.
Yeah. Everybody knew Yuri.
Everybody.
I
actually used to DJ unofficially. DJ, I didn't have turntables, but we'd have parties. Jason Williford and I, we lived together 3 out of 4 years. And in our last year, we lived on West Main Street on ground, so off campus. But we're kind of like upstairs in an apartment where we could see everybody. They'd have to buzz to get us up. So we'd there'd be a big party. Maybe we got practice the next morning, maybe we don't. But at the end of the party, somebody would always jump on and be like, after party at Jay Willie and YB Crib. And we wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes it would really turn into an after party. Next thing you know, I'm DJing in my room, just playing, you know, with dual tape cassettes. Got the speaker set up.
I was thinking an iPod, and that I'm dating myself when I say
This was years before the iPod.
Yeah.
This is before the iPod.
Man, I can't even picture that. That's crazy.
You dating me. Yeah, you dating me. But I had the speaker, the wires going along across through the apartment from my room to the outside.
Oh, yeah.
All that. Now you got to make it happen. Everything.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd rock that joint, you know.
For sure.
And that's how it went. And it was just something about playing music for people that I've always loved. I wish, like you, that I would have started in college. I wish that I would have. My main regret is I didn't start DJing when I was overseas playing ball.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been crazy. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Because
you probably had a lot of free time, too.
Yeah, I went from the Netherlands, which is Amsterdam. And that was my first spot out of college playing ball. And I was worried that I was going to be missing out on music because I'm a huge hip hop fan. I've always been a huge music fan. And I thought I'd miss out on stuff. You know, I need the new stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. Not only was I not missing out on stuff, I was sending people at home stuff that I was getting in Holland, in the Netherlands, because of their legalization of certain things. You know, there was always American acts, hip hop acts over there performing and doing things. Like every weekend, something was going on with groups from America, you know? So it was real cool. And they'd be on radio stations, they'd have remixes, they'd have all this stuff going on. And I think that's the time when I actually started, because I used to be in a rap group in middle school, you know, and that was probably my introduction to hip hop right there. I always loved hip hop, but you know, just knowing how to come in when the beat, how to come in when you need to start rhyming.
Yeah.
Then when I'm overseas, I started making pause button loops is what I call them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know about those, Connor, but that's when you got a dual cassette tape and you know, the little, maybe the 20 seconds that there's nobody rhyming or nobody singing.
Yeah, just take the beat, yeah.
Yep, you just have to, and you got to catch it just right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it seems seamless. So you can rhyme over it or do whatever you need to do. And I remember my teammate, he went out when we were roommates, he went out one day and came back, and I had made like 3 pause button loops of like 4 or 5 minutes apiece and rapped over them all. He's like, man, how in the hell did you do this? You know?
Yeah.
So, but all of that led up to me DJing, you know? And then I started making beats after college, probably after I started playing basketball, stopped playing basketball. That's when I started making beats. So I feel like anybody that was a producer and made beats, I think they're probably natural at DJing. Just because it was a process from going for that pause button, I call it, that's the James Brown one. I don't know if you, that one,
yeah.
2, 3, 4, 1.
Yeah.
And that applies to DJing like nobody's business.
That's basics, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
All of that went in hand, went together, and it just got me to where I am now.
Absolutely.
YB, we're going to give you a chance to get busy on the ones and twos and maybe even freestyle. But first, we're going to talk to Coach. We're going to talk to Coach Phony Bennett about some tweets that's happening.
I'm on it, man. I'm ready.
Let's go.
This week, Phony. Here's the first one. We've talked about this, the UVA jam. I don't know what you call it, the bracket that they run. The advanced Dre. Adam Hall are head-to-head this week. Darius Thompson, Justin Anderson, I think that one's today. And yep. Joe Harris beat out Brian Stith. And you got Joe Harris versus Jay Huff. And then
what a joke.
Malcolm versus Mustafa.
I was going to say that.
What are your thoughts?
That's a travesty. First of all, Jay beating Evan. Jay does not have to jump to dunk. And I believe that's an unfair advantage. The dunk they picked for Jay was not one of his more impressive dunks. Like, he had some against Duke where, you know, he just takes 2 steps from the foul line and dunks it. Like, if they'd use that, but, I mean, Evan had to give everything he had to elevate there. And that's, I'm ashamed. I still got Mu going all the way. I mean, that's it for me, for what I look for in a dunk. It doesn't get any better. That Darius Thompson dunk is basically the same thing. So it'd be interesting if it came down to those, because dunking over somebody to me will always be whatever. I mean, jump over a Kia and what, I don't care. You know, I want to see you dunk over an opponent who's trying to defend you. And that moon dunk is the best.
Hold on. Dougie, did you comment on the Brian Stith versus Joe Harris?
Oh, hell yeah. Brian just put people in the rim with him. I'll say Brian, and YB will agree with me. In terms of dunk style, Brian's problem is he only did the same dunk because he's an efficient dude. He's like, I'm putting the ball in the basket. Oh, and guess what? I'm the all-time leading scorer in Virginia history.
Dougie, what was your tweet in response? Is it clean? Was it clean?
Oh, I'm always clean. I'm clean like that. If somebody sees it, I'm clean. It's hard. It's hard to be clean. I'll find it. But I was like, you just got to be clean. It's like Brian. It doesn't exist. It doesn't. You can't do it like that.
So. I feel like this one's gonna be really hard for people. The Darius William and Mary Thunder Dunk, and versus the London to just. Alley, like,
yeah, Justin's dunk grew on me.
He's flying, like, this one, like, he is up there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's two different styles, but it's two different styles, right? It's somebody dunking on somebody when you're dunking on somebody, and the guy kind of jumped a little bit late, but he still dunked on him. Justin's dunk is just powerful, graceful.
He's graceful, Mark. You're exactly right.
There's several of these, though, where I don't know why they chose the dunks that they did. Like Justin had a couple 180 alley oops. Justin had some stuff in the open court that I would pick over that. I mean that I think was the Darius one to go.
He did jump, but I'm sorry, I was wrong. Darius does dunk junk on.
I gotta give Darius the edge on that one.
Oh, oof. I think they took dunks, not players. I think
YB. What's your take? YB, what's your take
on Justin?
Let's see.
What's the question?
This Darius versus Justin Anderson dunk. Which one you got?
I can't see it.
on the screen. Oh no, you can't hear on your phone.
Oh yeah.
DJ, I mean, DJ, who you got? Steel shot. Hold on.
Look.
Who? What's the second one? That's Justin.
Yeah, this one's coming up here in a second.
That's a
this one. This one's Darius, and then this one's just. I mean, he's so high.
He is literally staring the rim in the face.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah, I'm going Justin Anderson on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really torn. I like the Darius in your face. I really do.
But it's a tough one. Yeah.
Sorry.
But wait, so y'all were saying earlier that the contest was between Brian Stiff and Joe Harris.
YB, don't get Dougie started again, please.
Joe Smith. Come on, YB.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Joe Harris.
No. I mean, Joe's dunk was great, and it surprised everybody.
Neither one of them are known to dunk.
Is that why
it's on the list?
Oh, no. You got Dougie started again, YB.
Don't get me started. YB, I guarantee you in practice one time, Bryant put you in the rim with a dunk.
He put me in the rim?
Everybody,
Never.
TW, we can see who you voted for on these polls.
Oh, no, never. I will say.
All right, watch. Joe just got a dunk in practice. There's 17 people in the gym. That's good. Nothing against Joe, by the way. It'd be nice. One dribble.
Who are they playing against? When Joe Harris dunked, what team was that?
Like Monmouth State.
Nobody.
Monmouth State. Not even the regular Monmouth.
Exactly. Right out of Jersey, no. Monmouth State.
And by the way, I'm an enormous Joe Harris fan. Enormous. But like he'll say this, I guarantee you, he'll say the same thing.
I fat fingered Joe Harris on it.
T-Dub doesn't want to admit.
I don't remember voting for any of these, if I'm being honest, but
I mean,
well, I voted for all but one.
DJ CJ, who do you got so far?
I mean, I'll be totally honest with you guys. I didn't know this was going on, so this is like my first exposure to it. I kind of want to see. I want to see the Jay Huff Evan Nolte one. That's the one I really want to see.
Yeah, go back. That's still fair.
Here we go. Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Make it big, T-Dub.
I can see. Yeah, I can see it perfect. You're on a big screen.
There we go.
That was close. 59. Dude,
DJ CJ's tech is no joke.
Yeah,
he's got like an 80 inch. He's got the $10,000.
See, I've seen Jay Huff do some real serious, serious dunks. And
I agree with
Dougie that I don't know why this was to the selection, but
I mean, he had that one at Duke where he just posed. Right?
Oh yeah, he threw it down.
Up there. Boom, the way I used to do it.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
he had at least one at Duke where he you know, fake the shot from 3-point and then I think one dribble and dunk.
One dribble.
Yeah. Like to me, that's more impressive. You're tall. If you get the ball under the basket, I'm yelling if you don't dunk it.
But if you're 7 feet tall and start off at the 3-point line and end up dunking, I don't care. That's impressive.
Right. I kind of agree with Phony. The Evan Nolte one is big time for him. That's like, you know, I'm used to seeing him stand in the corner on the baseline sinking threes, and all of a sudden he's throwing it down on somebody's face.
Yeah, that's true.
He put himself in the lead when he pump fake, took a dribble, and dunked on everybody.
Yeah.
On everybody.
The surprising factors.
Yeah. I like that mode.
I'd like to know who chose these dunks for each of these players, because Jay has better dunks. Justin has better dunks. Evan probably doesn't have a better dunk than that. Moo definitely doesn't have a better dunk than that, because that's
– no, nobody has a better dunk than that.
Yeah, that's still the
I think that's the winner.
No, it was
I saw Sean Wilson do that in practice too.
Thank you. I was going to bring it up, YB. RIP, Sean Wilson. Big Red. Yo, Big Red could yam.
This one?
Oh
man. Yeah. That's – Darius is close on that.
Darius is close, but
– it'll be Darius versus –
the thing I always go back to Moo's dunk is Moo was left-handed. So, and he threw that down with his right hand.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Like you get, you know, you watch the Olympics. Well, there's, you know, the difficulty score on this dunk was 6.7. That's to me, that pushes it over the top. I don't know who's going to beat him. But,
see,
you know, Braxton's dunk.
That's a sentimental dunk.
Yeah, Braxton's dunk has a very low difficulty score, but the moment was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have done well to receive the ball and not fall down at that point.
Right. So. And he did it with grace, right? It was kind of a graceful ending to a national championship.
What else?
Yeah. I mean, I said it on Twitter. That was the moment I knew it was over. That was the moment I breathed a sigh of relief. So I mean, you know, I'm not sure there's a bigger dunk in Virginia basketball history, but I think there's better dunks.
Yeah. And Phony, I'm with you on, if you're dunking on someone, that's so much more significant.
Oh, yeah.
I feel that way too.
I'm seeing, I might have to check, because I can't tell if Justin Anderson's was really on someone.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it didn't look like it.
No. It was off an alley-oop, a backdoor alley-oop, or a back pick.
I take that back.
On the alley-oop dunk. But it was probably a big-time game because it's at Virginia Tech too, and the fans are standing up.
Yeah, it's all about how you want to judge it. I mean, you go back to Willie Dersh's dunk. It was an open court dunk. Wasn't particularly, you know, a high degree of difficulty, but it was so disrespectful. you get points for that, but he lost.
And he got a tech.
And that gives him extra points. I think guys should be able to hang on the rim. Did we talk about this last time?
Yeah, you said that. I agree.
Yeah, okay.
Hang on the rim, maybe hold themselves. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Do some pull-ups. I don't give a shit. Like, that's just – you know, and the penalty, if there's any penalty, is you're letting the other team, you know, play 5-on-4 basketball for a few seconds. So, I mean, that should be enough. But, you know, if you want to flex on a dude, let him flex.
All right, T-Dubs, what we got next?
Before we get
into YB.
Connor has it on the flag and his background. So, the big one today is the Redskins will now be called the Washington Football Team. Oh.
That's what it is?
Yep.
I mean, not permanently, but that's what they're going with.
That's what they're going with.
That's so weak. They may as well say to Washington, we can't come up with anything right now.
Is that a protest by Dan Snyder?
I don't know.
Maybe. I never thought about that, Mark. You might be right.
Dan Snyder said he would never change that team's name as long as he was the owner. I remember that.
It's officially the Washington Football Team.
I was with the Pigskins. What about the Pigskins? They should have did that.
Or the Monuments. Or the
Monuments, depending on what monument you're talking about.
That's a dangerous.
That ain't popular in Richmond, I can tell you that.
but in defense of the name Washington Football Team, if you look at like every – soccer team, you know, football over there, team in Europe. I mean, it's all, you know, Liverpool Football Club. You know, that's all it is. They're not, you know, they might have a nickname that they still use, but it's whatever football club. So many of those. So, you know, Washington Football Team actually kind of falls in line with that, which I doubt Dan Snyder would appreciate. But,
that's a culture. I guess a culture thing too, right? We give nicknames for whatever reason.
And it's kind of old school. Old school is always cool.
I don't know. Yeah. As a diehard Reds or Washington Football Team fan, as a diehard fan, I was really looking forward to the name change, like to our new name.
Right.
And I understand the name change, but it's just like a letdown because I was really looking forward to either what I thought was going to be the Washington Red Wolves or the Washington Warriors, and then for us to just be the football team.
What's the mascot?
I read that they're going to change the helmet to just the – like almost like the UVA football helmet with just burgundy and gold with the gold jersey number. Or Alabama.
Number, right? Yeah, I'm hoping they just do like a shapeless form and just call it mascot.
Yeah,
and it just kind of like haunts
a shadowed figure.
It's not going to be fans there anyway, so they can just show like this weird shadow in the stands, and there's the Washington Football Team mascot.
Well, believe it or not, I might be breaking some news, but I was FaceTime with Morgan Moses this morning, and I asked him about the name before this story must have broke like 2 hours after it, and I was like, "Yo, what's the deal with the name, man?" And he was like, "I don't know, man. We're gonna see." He said, "Apparently, all the names Dan likes that are the names that we saw on Twitter and everything like that."
All still racist.
No. Somebody had copyrighted them in the area and made it really difficult. And he was gonna have to.
Yeah, there was one guy who trademarked like two dozen different
trademarked
names.
Him, not copyrighted him.
Said that he would give them to him, but they had 10 days and then, but you know, he'll get his buyout and, you know, but that's
Dan's the thing. What about the Cherokees? No, Dan.
You know,
I know, right?
Yeah, no.
Stop. Yeah. But, But well, I think the Washington football team is only for this coming season. I think
yeah,
they're trying
is.
To make that clear. It's not
yeah.
this isn't their name going forward. But sure it's not that unusual not a name. I mean, if we look at international sports, we you know, not every team has
a they're lucky. They're lucky that this is the pandemic and everything is going on, if you think about it. Because their merch sales are gonna suck. But everybody's merch sales are gonna probably be down. This year, you know what I mean?
Right. There will be no merch sales for the Washington football team.
I think a lot of people will buy it as a novelty.
I agree.
Kind of interesting to get a Washington football team.
Yeah, and yeah it'll be a part of history.
It's kind of funny, actually.
Well, and essentially, you know, it's a limited edition product. They're only going to be selling
I didn't think about that.
Washington football team
is Washington football merch more valuable than ever? Tough to say.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dan Snyder's going to make a buck off this. So.
I was ready to back up the Brinks truck to, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods or wherever for when when they change the name to just totally re-outfit, you know, my entire wardrobe. But I guess I'll have to wait.
You still will, but you might buy a Washington football team.
I might pick up a Washington football team tee. Who knows?
I wish they had gone, like, totally generic, like black and white, like generic groceries.
Yeah, like your Madden-created uniform.
Yeah. UPC code on it, football team. And like Belushi's college sweatshirt.
I got a question that means nothing to what we're talking about. Can DJ CJ dunk?
You know what? I haven't tried in several years, but I could never.
No, could you?
No, I never. I couldn't get the ball over the rim. I had trouble palming the ball, so that made it kind of difficult.
You did with a tennis ball though, right?
Oh yeah, I could do it with a volleyball, but I couldn't do it with a basketball.
Dougie, what made you think of that? It's been in my head the whole time when you guys are talking about this nonsense.
Have you ever?
We're talking about the name of the Washington.
No, but I know he's an athlete. I was thinking about it because of the dunks, and he's 6'3".
Have you ever dunked fresh?
Yes, sir. Come on, man.
I mean, I haven't seen you. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
I would like to go back and try. I really should. It's a different
muscle set for you, right? For what you're doing, dude.
My last dunk was when I was 40 years old. Just to say, I'm 40 years old, and I dunked, and that was it. No need to try anymore.
A lot of what we do is side to side, not up and down. Right. As far as the legs,
we get a dunk contest going amongst the three of you, and maybe add a couple.
Me?
No,
I bet. I'm 6'3". Best I ever managed on a legit 10-foot rim was clanging it off the back rim and grabbing, hanging off the front rim. I could never just get quite high enough to down.
While we're talking about that, my first dunk was when I was 12 years old at Ralph Sampson basketball camp.
Not to brag.
And in my mind, this is how it happened. It's like at the end of camp, and I'm kind of like one of the popular kids because I'm tall and jumping high. But I had never even tried to dunk. And so all the kids were like, I think it's maybe my team. They're lined up on each side of the free throw line, and they're like, dunk it, dunk it, dunk it. And I just went down, and it's like I got all of this over the rim and for the first time. So I made it. But I'm like, I can't believe I never tried that before.
Right.
It's so easy. Yeah.
But I was 6 feet tall at 12 years old.
Wow. And you aimed it.
Well, see, all I ever played was pickup games, and there is still value in missing a dunk in competition. Because if you miss a dunk, even though I know I'm going to miss that dunk, none of those other guys know that. And they think, oh, shit, this guy, he can do something. And I couldn't. But the point was they thought I could. It's all the mental game. You just you get in their heads.
That's kind of, yeah, I know what you mean.
No, I got a tip dunk in Nebraska on an official visit, playing with the dudes, and it came off. I went up left hand, I tipped it in, I tip dunked it in.
What?
And I came down, I came down all hard, like yo, and they're looking at me like,
because you surprised yourself.
Yeah, but they're like, you didn't really do much, dude. I'm like, all right, my bad.
Nah, tip dunks, man, they always mean something. That's right? Coordination and timing.
YB.
Yo.
You got some beats for us? And maybe a little freestyle?
Nah, we ain't freestyling today.
Oh, come on now.
Thank you.
That's DJ YB with the crazy hypnotic flow. YB killing it. T Dubs, what you got for us?
What do we got? So Malcolm Brogdon starting the Brogdon Family Foundation. I mean, this is not a surprise at all, because the guy has always been about charity and social justice and doing what's right. But that's pretty cool, and it got him on Twitter, which is awesome.
Right. I was going to say, him being on Twitter is the first thing. The second one is the announcement of his.
Has he never been on Twitter?
No.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
So I met Malcolm in, like, I don't know, it was 2013, maybe 2014. And he was like a second year, maybe. And I asked him about getting on Twitter, and the response he gave made me not want to be on Twitter. He just right. talked about just how poisonous Twitter can be. And specifically about how fans, you know, they blow up the players that are doing well, but then as soon as you start playing poorly, they're tearing you back down. He didn't right. think athletes needed to listen to that. And just in general, that he didn't think it was a positive experience. So I'm happy he's on, and I'm sure he's controlling, you know, what he's looking at and stuff. But I mean, he's such a good dude and such a good, great representative of the university.
Oh, he's so ahead of his years, man.
It wouldn't shock me if it's actually not him who's on it, if it's his agent or somebody that's running it.
Yeah, you read the tweets. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound like he's just sitting there tapping out on his phone.
No.
And this new, I guess this new family foundation is in replace of Hoops2o or in lieu of, I don't even know what that is. I know Chris Long has his, and then he's now, maybe this is the basketball side of his, because I know he left the Hoops2o thing to start this. So pretty cool. Sure. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's been talking about doing something like this, you know, from his first days at UVA and when he talked about his experience visiting Africa. So this isn't something that's new for him. It's obviously been a goal for a long time. And so that's pretty cool. He's finally doing it.
And then
you guys all saw the TNT when Barkley said, how much does it cost? I got one.
Yeah, 35.
Right, yeah.
That's one of the
cool. Yeah, that was killer.
Connor, is this something you would join?
What do you mean?
In terms of as a pro athlete jumping on and helping with this Brogdon Family Foundation, has he reached out to you at all or no?
No, not me. Shoot. But no, it's definitely something I've tried to do some charity work of my own. It's obviously not on the scale that he does it. But
yeah,
I mean, we this past year, I teamed up with one of my high school teammates who is out in San Diego now, but we helped rebuild a baseball field down here in inner city Norfolk this past year. So that was cool to do. Even if it's something awesome. Just on a smaller scale, I'm proud to do it. And especially with baseball and youth sports and staying local in the area, that stuff's cool to me. So trying to do my thing on a smaller scale.
That's the point, man. Absolutely.
And then here's the next one. Thanks to Fresh. This is Chris Havlicek's reversely at first birthday.
Ooh. Wow.
That was fly. YB.
Yeah.
Yo, assist who? assist Fresh.
That was your assist?
Yeah, I saw Hav leaking out. Look at that. Look at that little chest pass. Why?
You was like, oh, Hav's about to do some spectacular stuff. Let me break
and
him off.
And YB, you're right there, and then Big Red's following the play. Look.
Dougie, yeah, I was going to tip dunk that in.
Dougie, you were so good, they were triple teaming you.
Right.
Did you see him? All the volunteers from my home state are coming after me. I'm like, I got it. Watch this. Boom. So Hav jumped from outside the lane, and people don't know this about Chris Havlicek. He had this game.
Yeah, he was athletic.
He had that kind of game, but it just didn't, you know, it was a different style the way we played, I guess, to be able to do stuff like that.
How about it's a shame we didn't get to see it more.
It is a shame.
He didn't get a ton of minutes, and it was always a mystery to all the fans.
Look at the spin on this. Ooh.
Yeah, that was
well, he got Mark, that's that he did it all the time. I'm telling you, if Chris Havlicek went to Harvard and not Virginia, he might have been a college All-American. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I agree.
right? Why?
Yeah, I agree.
But he had a great college experience, the whole thing. We're better off for it. He turned 50.
That's a lot of guys' story, though, too.
Yeah. I mean, how does he feel about it? Does he feel that way? Like, I should have went somewhere else, or does he love his time at UVA?
No, my bad.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. But he had, like, dude, he was the big man on grounds. Like,
when he was, like, on the Olympic handball team or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a freak athlete, dude, like, in a different way. Not a freak athlete, but, like, could do anything. You know, if he played baseball, Connor, I'm telling you, he could have been a pro pitcher.
No, I believe it. There are people that are just like that.
Yeah.
On our championship team, Ernie Clement was like that. He was he played ice hockey growing up, and I might be telling on ourselves that we would go to the AFC and play a little bit of basketball, and you threw him out there, and he was just a natural. He just was so smooth and so athletic, and whatever he did, I was convinced he was just one of those guys. You could put him wherever, and he was just a natural at it.
Exactly.
It's amazing when you see some of these, you know, athletes that, I mean, it's just, it's athletic intelligence and they can pick up any sport and how many professional athletes are also way better golfers than you or me.
Chris is a great golfer.
Yeah.
Great at golf. I mean,
it's like an understanding, it's body control and then also understanding how form is important in all of these things you do. So concentrating, getting that form right, and then the rest.
What was that they keep showing in the crowd at the end of it?
That was pretty hilarious.
It's got to be a Tennessee fan. It's got to be a parent,
like a dad.
I thought it was somebody I should know.
That's pretty. Be careful. Right. Be careful, YB. You probably do.
This next one, most improved in UVA history. We got Jason Kane.
I think it's easy.
Jerome Tungy, Roger Mason, Norm, Malk, Dev, Richard Morgan, Jack Salt, Mike Scott. Who you got, Phony?
Oof. I mean, I haven't considered this. I haven't seen this question before. I mean, there's a good case to be made for all of them. I don't want to select Malcolm because that first year before he got hurt, he was clearly a defensive juggernaut. And so to say most improved, he got injured and stuff. I got to say Mike Scott because he became – suddenly second place in ACC player of the year voting from not getting a lot of pub. I'll probably go with Mike Scott there, even though he still has me blocked on Twitter and I don't know why.
We got to get him on a podcast.
Yeah, Jerome Mayensay was on our podcast, which is what brought up this question.
Right. And I think Jerome's the natural one because he played a little bit with Tony. I mean, he was, wow. It was like a revelation watching him. He just didn't reach the levels that Mike Scott did. And I know Mike Scott came in more highly thought of, but that's my guess. But I mean, Jerome, I think Jerome is the obvious answer. Mike Scott's the one I'm going with.
But he also played 12 years, right, Mike Scott?
Right.
All right.
It's a long time to improve.
He had an extra year in there for improvement.
I'd say most surprising for me, and I'm not sure if he was most improved, is Devin. Because he redshirted, right? Redshirted?
Yeah, redshirted.
Like or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the NBA. So, like, what else you want?
Who would you say?
Devin Hall?
Oh.
Dev? Hey,
who do you got, YB?
I was thinking, I don't know. That's a tough list. I'm not sure who I have.
It is tough.
Yeah, so what about you, Connor?
I was surprised Devin Hall didn't – that it took him that long to get his shot in the league because I always thought he was steady. I always thought 6'5 point guard, which I know he could play the point,
right,
was valuable in the NBA.
Yeah. See, back when I had my other podcast, Devin Hall was always known as the hard hedge favorite. He was from the day he stepped on grounds, we were expecting him to be good. And it took him a couple of years to kind of reach that. But, you know, so I have trouble to see him as most improved. I saw him more as, you know, reaching the potential that we saw for him.
That's why you know more than me then.
I wouldn't say that.
No, hey, I mean, perspective. Yo, YB, what's up?
You know what I forgot on my show last Wednesday that you would have Havlicek on? It was John Crotty's birthday on that same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, I have a habit.
Supposed to be on it.
on Wednesdays, when I go on for YB Wednesdays, I have a habit of looking up celebrity birthdays. And John Crotty was one of the celebrity birthdays. But I totally, you know, I'm getting old, brain cells. I totally forgot about it. That would have been cool to say on Wednesday night, though.
We'll just say it now, yo.
Well, happy belated birthday, John.
We'll miss that one, too.
I never played with him, Doug.
Nah, I know. He's before you. I did.
Yeah, he left the year I came in.
Yeah, Crotty was something else, man.
Yeah.
So when
How
I was
many years do you have in the league?
12.
At 6 feet tall.
Nah, he's a sneaky 6'2", 3. He's long arms. But he was athletic, yo. People don't realize that. He could YB 360 dunk, like whatever.
360 dunk?
Oh yeah. Backwards.
You seen it?
Oh yeah.
You seen it.
Okay. Crotty's an athlete. Yep.
When I was looking through this, I think Richard Morgan has the biggest jump from in terms of points per game from first year to last year.
Yeah.
He goes from like whatever 2 or 3 to 20 something. So it's like, whoa, that's a
right.
How did he go from whatever he went to first year to having the green light?
Well, he talks about it that one summer. Yep. Apparently, he just really his third year, this off season's third year, he just really committed to the game. He took it seriously for the first time. He said, like really training and eating right and doing it all. He just felt like a different dude. And then he came back, and it was like the light came on, and he was it.
But he was a highly touted guy out of high school. He was a real he's a real guy.
Right.
He's been on the show. The
right spot.
Yeah, he was on.
Dickie Moe.
Jack Salt's another one. Maybe not points production, but man, he got a lot better for
what. Yeah, I mean his trajectory was standard, but then I mean he took a back seat in a lot of games that last year. I mean, he was crucial to that championship, and I will contend to the day I'm gone that we don't win it without Jack Salt.
Exactly.
That's absolutely. Right. He was a huge piece.
Yeah. But he was also an example of what needed to be done. And if somebody else can do it better than me, I'll sit on the bench for a few minutes and you do it.
Right.
But that was the example, right?
Yeah.
Outside of Akil Mitchell, I don't know if there's been a better example of that than Jack.
Right. I mean, he was such an ideal player. No, I'm a huge Jack Salt fan. Such a nice guy and so appreciative of everything. I mean, I got the chance to talk to him a few times, and he's just, man, he just makes you feel good about being alive. Good guy.
Did he call you sir every time he spoke to you?
I think so. But a lot of the Virginia players have done that, and it just makes me feel old. It doesn't make me feel good. It just, like, stop calling me sir.
So true. It's so true, funny.
Does Ty Jerome say sir?
Yeah, right.
He's like my son. Love you, Ty. The best.
And then the other thing I was gonna say is back to the DJ and in the Twitch thing. How people listen is they should treat it like this podcast, right? Whereas they put it on the background and then go work out, do your thing, listen and support your guys.
Yep.
Come back whenever. Like I think. A lot of people think, oh, I got to dial in and chat with DJ YB, DJ CJ. But you don't have to. You can just leave it on the background, listen to the music, and participate when you can. Like, that seems like one thing a lot of people don't realize, right? They think chat, and they see it, and they're like, oh, if I don't have anything to say, I'm not going to do this. But you can just sit back and listen.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It's your radio channel.
TW, I think 100% you're right. I think it's a big misconception. I know I even caught myself where – I've been doing it now where I know these other people's schedules and stuff, and I'll be driving around or something, and I'm like, you know, what music should I listen to right now or something? And I'll just be like, shoot, I'll just throw on so-and-so stream and just plug it in and listen to it like it's Sirius XM radio or something like that. And it's essentially just the same thing. So I think there's so much more to it than just what people, you know, what they hear, what they think it is, or, you know, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, like YB Wednesday. When you do it, I just put on another tab, and then I just have that as the music, which is awesome. Like,
I think for me, the cool part, and TW made a great point. If you're working out, like I'm trying to like find a song the whole time, and that takes away from the work.
Right, it does.
If I'm just letting DJ CJ flow, YB flow, I ain't got to think, right?
That's my workout. You just do your thing. Then it takes that equation out of it, right? Where you have to like, what song's next? It's not what I want. It's just like you just leave it up to these guys.
I'll say this too. I remember my first time, really, I just got on Instagram maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And I remember I go to, you remember the group Black Moon? Buckshot Shorty was the lead rapper, the leader of Black Moon. And he's just talking or whatever. He has a page. I go to his page and he's talking. There's only like 25 people on there. But I made a comment about the whack music that they were playing in the background. And he bust out loud. He bust out laughing and told everyone that he was laughing at my comment and said my name. And from that, like, that made me feel special. Like, I think I was hooked at that point. And it was crazy. So now I really appreciate, since I appreciated that, I try to shout out everybody that's up there.
Yeah.
Everybody that I see. You know, because I know how that made me feel. Right. I know that was even off the topic, but still.
Connor's really good at that.
That's a real thing, and I'll try to address both things we were talking about. I know at least most of my stream schedules on a normal week, I'll stream a midday thing at like 2 p.m. Eastern, and we've got a lot of people that tune in that'll just say, hey, what's up? You know, I'll have you on the background while I'm working from home, but I'm listening to you, just want to let you know I'm here or whatever. So there's a lot of people that just listen to it like the radio, like Pandora online radio or something that are just tuned in listening. And then I have two days a week where I'll do like a nighttime stream, kind of like an evening thing. And we'll have people that there's a lot of West Coast listeners on Twitch. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, you know, so some people will be like, I'm at the gym right now. You're killing it. Like, this is so great. This is exactly what I need. And then the next person pops in, you know, I'm picking my kids up from daycare. And the next person says, I'm cooking dinner right now. So you got like people doing all different sorts of things that are all sharing the same experience while all over the country doing totally different things. And it's just kind of cool that Twitch is a place that allows people to do that and all those sorts of things. And then on the second topic, as far as the shout outs go, so Neil helped me get connected with, like I said, a lot of these really big DJs. And so it's funny because when it comes to the athletes and stuff, and especially baseball, I try to view those guys like my counterparts. Like, I don't, you know, if I'm in the locker room with Yadier or Molina or somebody, I can't be like oohing and aahing over, you know, a future first ballot Hall of Famer. In my opinion, the best to ever do it. Like, I'm on the same team as him. Like, you know, it can't be like that. And so when it comes to NFL and NBA, it's a little bit different because like, I really do love sports and I'm such a big fan of those leagues. But when it comes to the DJs, I'm like, you know, for example, like Eric Deluxe or somebody who's one of the biggest DJs in the country out of LA. And his mom she's on Twitch all the time. And his mom was on my channel commenting. Everyone's like, hey, how you doing? And so I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Like, you're in here. And 2 days later, her son, Eric Deluxe, pops in the chat and he's, I see his name pop up in the chat. I'm like, oh crap. Like, no way. That's actually, he's in here on my channel, followed me and then subscribed to the channel. And I'm like, that is so cool. Cause that's someone I've looked up to for such a long time. That's so awesome. And that happened 3 times with 3 different DJs in 1 week last week. Cool. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, you know, that's awesome to me where, no, it's like me meeting Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid or somebody, like, you know, my favorite NBA players like that. It's just cool. Like there's just something about it. It truly makes you feel special, like YB said. And so I appreciate that. And I try to reciprocate that feeling to other people who I may or may not have that same effect on. So, you know, it's cool.
I had one person tune in from the Senegal in Africa. And I had one person tune in from Spain. So to be able to say that night, at that moment when I'm live, I've got listeners all over the world, y'all.
Exactly. Yeah.
It feels good. You know what I mean?
Same
it doesn't
thing.
Matter.
Cool.
It doesn't matter that he was my roommate at UVA.
Now you're cheating. Now you're cheating.
But still.
Yeah.
And for your Twitch streams, you don't leave them on VOD, right? You have to like watch it live and then it's gone, right? Because of copyright, is that right?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I guess you being a Twitch employee, but there's a lot of things that the DJs are pretty paranoid about the copyright stuff. So the advice I've heard from other DJs is Twitch will kind of make a copy of the stream. And shortly after it's live and it's done, they'll kind of mute the audio for copyright issues. But I go back and delete almost all my stuff. So yeah, it's kind of like you got to be there live. It's just more fun. It's just more fun live because it's truly a community. So yeah, I try to delete all of it just for copyright paranoia sake.
Yeah, I think the rule is you have rights while it's live because it's mm-hmm. a show. Because then you're originally creating it, but you can't have it on demand.
Yeah.
Some weird thing like that's what I was trying to tell you, Yuri, before. Remember, I was like, yeah, you should do it because Facebook and them will tag it either way. They don't care if it's live or recorded. If they find a copyright, they're killing it. Whereas Twitch has a thing where when it's live, they don't go after it. But once you finish and you download it onto their site, then it's like they can use the algorithm and find trademarks and copyrights.
Oh, okay.
So while you're live, you can go crazy, which is like a huge benefit to Twitch, right? Because then you can have any kind of music you want. You can play it to your heart's content, and then
Facebook and I mean, I love Instagram, but it is such a nightmare with the copyright stuff. Yes. And I one of the first times I tried to do it, I went live on both at the same time, and I lasted like 3 or 4 minutes on Instagram Live, and it kicked me right off. And I was like, this is a big pain in the ass already.
You went live on Instagram and Facebook?
Yeah.
And they kicked you off. That happened with me. I got kicked
off. Instagram and Twitch. Instagram and Twitch.
Okay. I did Facebook and Twitch successfully.
Well, hopefully the podcasting doesn't turn us off when we play this.
No, it shouldn't.
We should be good.
Yeah. No, I can't wait to go live during a football game or something. We can do music. We can do commentary. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Football, basketball games, whatever. Baseball. That'd be great. Yeah. Well, appreciate you guys jumping on. Do we want to end with some music, Mark? Or
I think so, yo.
Like, Mark, you're muted.
So we're going to do the – what was it? Is the DJ off, correct?
Oh, yep. Boy.
Connor, why don't you take it away for the first 3 minutes, and then we'll get DJYB follow-up.
Let Connor do his thing. I'm actually flipping burgers now.
All right.
Got my son in here. Yeah, got my son in here.
YB, send me one, boy.
Dadden takes priority, man, always. Yeah.
All right, Connor, all right. Take it away.
It was fun, y'all. Appreciate
all
it.
All links below. We'll link everything below, how to find DJ YB and DJ CJ.
Yeah, Connor, I want to holler at you later, man. It was good meeting you. Talk to you.
Yeah, no, feel free to reach out, man. Absolutely.
All right, please. Yeah.
Enjoy the fellas.
All right, thanks, y'all.
All right.
Yeah. sweat dripping off me before I even knew her name. La, la, la. You felt like ooh la la la, yeah, no. Sapphire and moonlight, we danced for hours in the same tequila sunrise. Her body fit right in my hands, la la la. You felt like ooh la la la, yeah. I love it when you call me, senorita. I wish I could pretend I didn't need ya, but every touch is ooh la la la. It's true, la la la. Ooh, I should be running. So damn hard to leave, yeah. But every touch is ooh la la la. It's true, la la la. Ooh, I should be running. Ooh, you keep me coming.
So I don't you space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love.
Bounce, come on, bounce.
Some people call me Maurice. Or the pompous of love.
Bounce, come on, bounce.
People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong.
Come on, bounce.
Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. My love and on the run. You and I go hard at each other like we're going to war. You and I go rough. We keep throwing things and slamming the doors. You and I get so damn dysfunctional. We start keeping score. You and I get sick. Yeah, I know that we can't do this no more. Yeah. But baby, there you talking, there you talking, making me love you.
Whiskey neat. highest floor of the Bowery, and I was high enough. Somewhere along the lines, we stopped seeing eye to eye. You were staying out all night,
DJ CJ, and I had DJ
enough. CJ. No, I don't wanna know where you've been or where you're going, but I know I won't be home, and you'll be on your own. Who's gonna walk you through the dark side of the morning? Who's gonna rock you when the sun won't let you sleep? Who's waking up to drive you home when you're drunk and you're alone? Who's gonna walk you through the dark side?